Okay, and we can get started.
Okay, I'm calling this Four Point Channel Landmark District Commission public hearing to order at 6 p.m. on May 12, 2022. Present are Commissioners Karoff, Smilage, Rohde, and myself, Beriducci. You can participate in this hearing by going to our Zoom meeting link found on the boston.gov public notices page or by calling 929-205-6099 and entering meeting ID number 884-0359-7124 pound. You can also submit written comments via email to fortpointldc@boston.gov. So today the commission will be holding a public hearing to review design review applications. And in accordance with the Commonwealth of Massachusetts executive order suspending certain provisions of the open meeting law, we are conducting this meeting online to ensure public access to the deliberations of the Four Point Channel Landmark District Commission. The public may access this call through telephone and video conferencing. Have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on applications and discussions. And to do so, please raise your hand in the application via the Zoom meeting platform. And if you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can send your questions to staff via email, again, at fortpointldc@boston.gov. And these instructions will be repeated when we open up the public comment period. And so, and also to the people that that are out there, are they automatically muted?
Everyone is muted except for commissioners right now.
Okay. Because I was going to say everyone should be muted at this point. So, all right. So our first item on the agenda is 44 Thompson Place, and the proposed work is install new signage. So if the applicant is here, they can introduce yourselves. And
Ashley, I'm controlling the slides, so just let me know when to move forward.
Hi, I'm Ashley Andrews. We were here last month for Mecha Noodle Bar. The first couple slides are the other signage on the street. Mm-hmm. So it's the same thing that we proposed last month. And I don't know if it's the next slide after shows, you know, that one. Trader Joe's has their signage at the same height that we're proposing, which is two doors down from us.
All right. So on this same view, use the pointer and show me where your space is.
How do I do that?
Well, I'm just your cursor, rather.
You might have. Or
you're doing it, Gabriella. Okay.
Yeah. I can do it, but
So it's right before that gray square that's in the road right there behind the cars.
Over here?
A little bit further down.
Down here? Oh, down here on this end?
Yeah, like right about there.
Okay.
So, and it would be up in that same area that the Trader Joe's is.
It would be on this right here?
Yeah.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah. All right. I mean, that would have been very helpful last month if you had shown this view so that we could have gotten a clear understanding of the precedent here. So just for future. All right. And then do you have any other things you want to say about this or?
I think the next slide shows you guys asked for a side view of the sign. Yeah. So that one under where it says Mecha, that brick with the brown and then the orange, that's what it would look like from the side.
All right. So we have there's brick, and then what is the brown? The brown is the basically a background of metal background.
Yeah,
or something.
That's the aluminum pan, and then the orange is the letters.
All right, how thick is the brown pan there? Is that I can't read that number.
3 inches, and then the letters are 5 inches.
All right, and this is internally lit.
Yes.
And so the letters get what gets illuminated then? Just the letters or what?
Just the orange letters, yes.
All right, so are these plastic letters then, or what?
So they're PVC.
PVC, all right, so that everything would be lit, the side and the front of the letter, the entire letter gets illuminated.
It would be like it would almost be like behind the letters.
Oh, so like the light color would be sort of bright and then the letters would stand out against the white background.
Yeah.
So it's backlit, in other words.
Yeah.
Okay, that's better. And then, okay, so the letters are kind of, you said they're plate PVC, but yeah, all right. I'm just trying to envision it. It would be, so light will be coming out of the letters as well. Is that not true?
Yeah.
All right, so it's gonna be pretty bright. I'm just thinking of what is the condition of the Trader Joe's? What is that? Doesn't that just have sort of gooseneck lights hitting it?
It does.
On the surface?
Yeah, from above, it's just got like three goosenecks.
It has a couple of. Okay, this is, I know this is really random, but I was at Trillium recently and I noticed the lighting at Trader Joe's and there are five goosenecks.
For you, you were doing
five of them.
There were five on this on this side.
Okay, I mean, I think I remember them coming to us, and we preferred that because that kind of has an older sort of feel to the way signs might have been if they were to be lit. I mean, not certainly back in the day when this was done, but it's a more historic looking way of lighting. I think if you were going to light it. And you were going to truly backlight it, I would rather see the letters be opaque and then the background be illuminated and have the letters stand out against the illuminated background.
I thought that's what this thing actually does.
Yeah, well, so it's like behind the letters. It's like a
Can we go back lit. One? I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. I apologize. Could we go back okay. one slide? Because there is a graphic that it looks like. It appears that the LEDs, if I'm reading this correctly, are on the letters and on the backside of the letters facing the brown panel. Is that?
Yeah, so like that little white space in between the brown and the orange, that's like where the light would be coming from, like right behind the letter. So it'd be like halo lit.
Halo, yeah. So it's actually not, it's not, if you were facing the street, you would see the halo. You wouldn't see the orange letters illuminated internally.
Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's why that was my confusion, because you said the letters were PVC or plastic. I assumed that they are opaque then, the letters. Light will not come through the actual letter. It goes, hits the back of the panel, and then they stand out against that. Okay.
All right,
that's preferred. So all right, and then you're showing, and then the size of it that you have, the length and the width, or the height rather, is that compare in the same scale as the Trader Joe's sign?
I don't know the measurements on the Trader Joe's sign, so I'm not 100% sure.
I think it's around, I mean, the height of your wall sign is about the same as the Trader Joe's sign, which is around 27 inches.
Yeah, it looks like it takes up about the same amount of space.
All right.
So this blade sign is 24 inches, 24 by 24.
Yeah, okay.
So a little bit smaller. But.
It looks like it might be equivalent height-wise, but not width, but smaller.
Definitely not
width.
Length. Yeah.
Right.
Kind of but scale think, it to the windows there and you can kind of see.
All right, and the mounting, can you go back to the detail again? I want to see the mounting of that again. So you're gonna, okay, so there'll be how does this get mounted to the brick?
The leg bolts and anchors,
and that'll be in the brown portion as it gets affixed to the brick.
Yeah.
And our, you know, we want to make sure that they're spaced such that they hit mortar joints and not the face of brick.
Yeah.
So that's crucial. So whoever your sign maker is going to have to take a measurement of the joints of the brick and make sure that the bolting system falls right within that. All right. And then the blade sign is, so you're still going to have these two different looks. I mean, you know, that's your prerogative. I mean, I still am not sure why that is, but you know, you can you do what you want here. That is also a, how is that lit now? Again, go through that again.
That one is LED. So that one would be like the sign would be lit. Like
so what you see in orange is going to be lit?
The whole thing.
The whole thing from inside. So it's going to light. It'll be the white and the orange.
All right. It looks as though the orange are, it's a Lexan face with orange graphics. So
yeah, so it'd be like the white would be lit and then the orange is like a sticker.
Oh, I see. So that's it's adheres to the white. I see. And it's pretty thick though, huh? The what is the dimension? I can't on the upper right detail. I see that's a side view looking at from right to the brick. So what is that sign width?
That's the 6 inches. Is that what you're talking about?
Yeah. Well, yes. I can't see any dimension there, so I didn't know.
No, it's 6 inches from the wall. The actual width of the sign. Thickness of the sign.
You know, in other words, it's 24 by 24 by how thick?
Five inches.
Oh, 5 inches. So 5 inches. All right, that's not too bad. All right. Well, I think this is a much clearer explanation now of where this is going to go and the appropriateness of it now makes sense.
And you've eliminated a lot of there were some window kind of stickers things that were going in and you've eliminated those.
There is just the one on the entrance door.
Yes,
on the door, right, exactly. Yeah. But all the other ones on the windows are gone, so that's great.
So, Gabrielle, can you go to the photo that shows the sign on the building? Right there. Okay, so the entrance is over on the bottom left. And then you are going to occupy, though, all four bays and the loading dock bay?
I don't know if that's part of us or not. I'm not sure.
So I think I want to maybe, you know, if we approve this, I think I want to make a proviso that it not exceed in its height, it should match in height the Trader Joe's, and its placement should be placed such that it does not touch any of the concrete lintels. It should be breathing space between the top of the lintel and then the sign itself. So somehow it's got to float in that brick field. So that's important. So I don't have any other thoughts on this. If the commissioners have anything they want to say.
No, the only point I think someone made last month was that, it seems like it's way up high, the Mecha, wall sign.
Right.
And then, walking around and seeing how high the Trader Joe's sign is, and this is just matching that, it seems very appropriate to me.
Right. Well, what I didn't realize last month was I did not realize that it was that close to the Trader Joe's sign. I thought this was a different location altogether. So the two are always going to be viewed together essentially. And I think that makes for a more appropriate placement now.
It's still a little bit of a head stretch to to see it up there, but there's no other place to really.
Yeah, there's no other place. Exactly.
Yeah.
All right. And that I assume that light it's on the building, that's existing, right? Or is that something?
Yeah, that's
all right. And then the graphic that you're doing on the is basically that round decal on the upper portion of the glass. That's fine, I guess. So all right. So if there are no other comments from the commissioners, we can open it up for public comment. And I will read in. Okay, members of the public will now have an opportunity to ask questions and provide public comment on the application and discussions. To do so, please raise your hand via the Zoom meeting platform. If you're calling in and cannot use the platform, you can press *9 to raise your hand, or you can send your questions to staff via email at fortpointldc@boston.gov. Anybody coming through, Gabriella? Or Rachel Adams watching?
I don't see anybody raising their hand, and we do not have any email comments.
Okay. All right. So then we'll close public comment period. And if one of the commissioners would like to form a motion.
Move to accept the proposal as presented.
Okay. And is it okay if we add a proviso that it match in height the Trader Joe's sign?
Oh, yes. Yeah.
Okay.
And maybe just because it's not stated on it that the additional proviso that all the connection points be into the mortar.
Yeah, right.
The mortar, not the brick.
Yep. Okay. All right. So that's the motion. We have a second.
Second.
So Commissioner Smilich.
Yes.
Karoff.
Yes.
Brody.
Yes.
And Chair votes yes. All right. Great. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. Now we're going to do these administrative reviews first before we do the advisory. Is that what you wanted to have done here?
Did I do it in the wrong order on the agenda?
You did.
The presentation. Oh no!
All right,
so we'll skip to advisory.
We can do administrative. Right. You can hold the administrative vote.
All right. So these are two applications here, and these are applications that came before the staff. The staff had approved them with the finding that they had adhered to the standards or criteria. So our vote at the end will be to approve their finding.
David, I just want to let you know that I'm here.
Oh, okay, great. Commissioner Gorgani.
Sorry for being late.
No, it's all right. Okay, first administrative review is application 22.1143, and this is at 332 Congress Street, and it was to remove and replace steel channels, repair brick masonry, repoint and paint steel to match the existing. And the last is application 22.1052, 15 Channel Center Street, and that was regarding repointing the rear facade. So that's the motion will be to accept. We have a second.
A second.
All right. And we'll just do a voice vote. All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Aye. None. Okay, great. So now let's skip to the advisory here. And that is, there's no application number on this. So it's right. So this is at 17 Farnsworth Street. And the proposed work is to demolish the existing parking garage and construct a new building.
So, applicants want to come, thank yourself, state your name for the record. And commissioners, just keep in mind when this comes as an application that this will be held as two separate votes, a vote for the demolition of the structure and then a vote for constructing the new building. So keep that in mind.
Okay.
But otherwise I'm controlling the slides, so just let me know when to move forward.
Okay, so if the applicant's there, just introduce yourself, please.
Yes, this is Mariana Sarkomarud-Bento-Grino. We are the owners of the existing parking structure, and we're going to be the developers if this project goes through. And we have Perkins and Will. Robert Brown is with us, and he will present for us.
Okay.
Robert?
Is he by chance muted or is
so not sure Robert's here, but this is John Needham also with Bentall Greenoak. you know, Mariana and I can jump in here and walk us through.
Yeah.
So what we're seeing here, this is, you know, aerial shot of the seaport outlined in yellow is the garage itself, just to give you a lay of the land of where this sits. Sorry, Fort Point. So go to the next slide. Again, aerial view, just over the bridges. What we're looking at here are two elevations. One's from the Farnsworth sides. We're standing in front of Flower, looking at the garage. On the second column of pictures, this is on the back side of the garage, looking up from the service alley. I think what's important to note here is this structure is not historic. It was built in 1986. You can see on the back side, it does not have a brick facade. So this is actually, you know, brick veneer on the front to match the buildings on either side. So the proposal, and Mariana can maybe lead through this part, given that she's the development lead. But again, the proposal here is to take down the existing structure, put up a new structure that is actually shorter than the buildings next door. So we are not pushing the envelope here. We want to respect the neighborhood and respect the buildings on either side.
All right. And then also what's very important to mention, we're planning to save the existing foundations that support the garage and build on top of them. And we already did some probes and the piles are competent and they will require a little bit of reinforcement, but only in the area of the elevators. So a little bit of disruption, but not much in with regards to the, you know, soil of support of excavations were excavation per se. So the ground floor will be also elevated 2 feet above the sidewalk to comply with the new guidelines for the flooding of Boston and the seaport area. And we're gonna have also the window sills 2 feet elevated above the elevation of the first floor. And we will also provide this barriers for the openings. The ground floor consists of a tenant space with amenity to the right, where we have a lobby and a coffee, maybe a retail component, or maybe just dedicated to the tenants. We also have the electrical service coming through the back of the building, and that will stay. And I think we got some confirmation that the transformers that are there are providing power to the adjacent buildings, and there is spare capacity, so we're not going to be disruptive in the streets. We also have the loading dock through that back alley. We have a traffic consultant that already confirmed that the width of the road, it's wide enough to provide for the turning curb, and then elevators, and that will be for the ground floor. Then we can move to the next. So the existing parking structure has 6 floors. We're proposing to demolish them and build 3 tenant floors plus the ground floor. And this is like a normal tenant layout with columns in between and preserve as much space as possible for potentially a multi-tenant or a single tenant occupancy. We can go to the next. This is a rooftop layout that we're proposing. We are going to have an enclosed mechanical penthouse and a screen mechanical area. And we're also proposing a rooftop terrace to be accessed by the tenant occupants. We did check the guidelines for your area, and it says that it can be reviewed and approved case by case. We are proposing 1 rooftop terrace that is recessed from the parapet, not to have any visibility from the street, and maybe have a vegetated roof in between the parapet and the rooftop terrace. But again, we would like to have this, but we know the guidelines, so we would like to have it. That's a nice to have.
And to echo what Mariana just said, I think it's important to note we did do sightline studies. There is no visibility of this roof.
Yes.
Coming on the next slide. Want to make that important.
Yeah, you'll see that in a section coming up.
Yes. Oh, Robert is here. Save the day. Hi, Robert. Please go ahead. You're the architect. We're just the developers. And
sorry, quick question. The rooftop terrace, that's facing Farnsworth Street, I'm assuming?
Yes, it is.
That is correct, yeah.
So this is a section that's cut through. If you were standing in Farnsworth Street looking back, you can see the dark black line at the base is that 2 foot raise of the floor. We have the lobby on the right hand side, the tenant space in the back of house. And then as Mariana was saying that there are 3 floors on top of that. So a total of 4 floors. And if you can see very lightly, it's unfortunate it didn't come through. The 6 floors of parking were 10 foot floor to floor. We're at 15 foot floor to floor. So we're actually less square footage with this than it was with parking. And it identifies where we think we are going to have the enclosed penthouse and then the screened area. And we've worked that out with the mechanical engineers. And we're going to share with you later the penthouse that's on 3144. Farnsworth to show that we're complying with in a similar kind of vein. Next slide. And this is that cross section. So as you can see, this is looking at Farnsworth Street, the service alley in the back, the lobby that's running between the two. And if you're 5 foot to 6 feet tall or looking across, you can see your vision is really cut off, and it's not even until you're some 50 feet in the air would you be able to see this top of the screen on the rooftop side. Next, please. And so we've looked at the area. You know probably much more than we do each of these buildings, but it's wonderful architectural heritage, great sense of consistency. And I think what we're trying to do is increase the potential for this building to both fit in and also have a feeling that it was done in the 21st century. So some slight variations. Next. But in all cases, it's a punched window. In many cases, there's on the upper left, there's sort of a columnar structure that's identified, and then the infill is horizontal, but it's still giving a very vertical quality to it. And then the different introductions of new contemporary architecture to really identify the new work that's happening in the district. Next. And so there were two buildings that we were really struck by, 10 Farnsworth, which is at the end of the street that has gone towards a interestingly decorative metal, and then 73 Seaport Boulevard, which equally sort of gives a darkened metal. So this is the direction we'd like to go. We think it's a very contemporary way of fitting in. And at the same time, you'll see that the proportions of the windows are very in keeping with what is sitting within the district. Next. So this is essentially an elevation looking at Farnsworth. At the very base, you can see the 2 foot raised granite. And then there's a sill, another 2 feet that protects the windows. The first floor is 18 to 20 feet and is aligning with the building on the right-hand side. It's sort of its datum line, and the same with the left. And then we're running at 15, so we're somewhat similar to the buildings on either side. But what I like about it is that it's not exactly an alignment, but a slight variation. So you get the individuality of each of the buildings. And then as you can see, with regard to height, we are lower than the building on the left-hand side, almost by a story, and about a half a story on the right-hand side. Next. So now we'll go through a series of sort of perspective sketches. As you know, Farnsworth is a very tight street, and so we are going to get an awful lot of oblique views. This shows the frame and horizontal quality of the building. The entry where there used to be 2 curb cuts, which those will be removed in the entry to the building. Next. Then a little bit closer, the entry with the 3 people on the sidewalk. And what we're showing is that there, if you know this block has some trees, are actually in very difficult shape. And as we were going through the guidelines and understanding a little bit more about four-point channel, the trees are really sort of scrub trees. And so we would like to take those down and so that we have a much wider and more pleasant sidewalk for everyone walking up and down Farnsworth Street. You'll see that in a second. Next, please. This is just looking towards Summer Street. So you're seeing the opposite side of the block going towards the west. Next. And then on the rear is between the buildings with the two bridges. There's the back of house is occurring on the right-hand side with the punch windows up above. And then there's a screened penthouse that runs across that back, still sitting just about even with the roofs adjacent to it. Next. And so this is just sort of giving a reality that these bridges exist, and so you really can't see a whole lot of building. Next. So what we did is we just took them away so you can have a better understanding of the datum and the direction we're going. And if you recall the slides that were showing the back of the garage, this is the area that really looked like a parking garage. Yeah. And now we'll be able to have light and activity. Next. Just looking in the opposite direction, more towards the seaport. We'll take that bridge away. Give you an impression of what that looks like. Next. So now we've gone out and gotten some professional rendering so that we can sort of give her the character. Here you can see these trees that are really sort of sun challenged going out. The sidewalk's about 5 feet wide. It's probably really 2 feet between the trunk and the curb or the trunk and the building next to it. You can see the three entries in. Another, the next shot shows those same that same image, and then the next shot shows that without the trees. And so we think that this just is more in keeping with the context that it exists in. The landscape is nice, but the landscape is really problematic in the pedestrian way going forward. And I think this is our last shot. Yes.
Okay. Thank you. Gabrielle, can you go to the slide that showed the photo of the corner building that they were taking their inspirations from? And then there was another one, I think, in Seaport District somewhere.
Oops, right there.
Right there. Yeah. Right. Okay. I just wanted to for a second here. Because one of the things, I mean, I like the direction you're going. I think it's great that this is not intended to be something pseudo historic, that it's a contemporary expression. But one of the things I'm looking at here on these two examples, on both, it seems there is a thicker, and I'm not an architect, so I'm not sure if this is the right term, but is it a spandrel, the portion that goes between columns?
Yes.
The horizontal. Okay. Yep. So on the base of there's like the first floor serves as a visual base for the building. And then that spandrel at the top is thicker and wider, has more expression than the upper floors. So I'm wondering, when you go to your building, was there any thought to doing something similar where that spandrel on the sort of ceiling height of the first floor, separating the first floor from the second, had something beefier to give the building an expression of having a base to it? Since all the buildings have most of the buildings here in Fort Point seem to have a base expressed on them.
So could we go to the first perspective sketch? I think we did look at that. And so the base is at 18 feet to 20 feet actually right now because of the height. So there is that height, but I could see your point. We could certainly make that horizontal band where that floor reads a little bit thicker so that you really had that as a point of base. And the same thing at the
top. It would help anchor the building, I think. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And at the very top, it also could be a little bit thicker that says this is the end. We're not adding.
Or I mean, it could be representative of the cornices that are often in all these buildings. I'm not saying that that's. I think the base is a more important piece. But if you can show something maybe that gives an expression of a cornice, I think that would help also tie in the sort of the main sort of organizational features of the buildings in Fort Point.
I think that's a good idea. Thanks for that suggestion.
I agree with David, because I feel like what I'm looking at now, it's sort of hovering or suspended there somehow. Yeah. And I almost liked the back of the building better, because there was a little bit of variety to give it a little more interest.
Well, we
kind of breaking up that mathematical, the grid. You know?
Right.
If I may provide something here, when we had the terrace at the parapet, we also had on top of the parapet a glass railing, and we had a lot of landscaping, and we also had that in mind, because we proposing to cut the trees but maintain the same carbon sequestration from the atmosphere. We and bringing that at the top of the building, it gave more weight and made it more solid. And we did have that. I think, I don't know if Jeff is on the call with us, if he can bring that older version. We removed the terrace when we read your guidelines, and that's why the building is now a little bit volatile and a little bit too skinny and light. But if we have that, Jeff or Robert, if we have, but we haven't submitted it, right? I don't think we can show.
No, I don't think we have that. Yes, but I think the point is that that we could create, it's not really a cornice at the top, but an identification that is the top of the building. And so we can certainly work on that. And the same at the base. There will be a lot of activity, because unlike the garage, which was pretty dark, there'll be labs, and so there'll be a lot of texture that's happening from the activities on
and a lot of light, a lot of light that's going to come out of this, which is going to be, I mean, I think that's going to be good, actually. But you know, at night the windows will have a lot of light emitting from it.
Right. Yeah. I mean, and also another point was to let transparency inside the building, because the building looks pretty, the street, it's pretty narrow and a little bit suffocating you when you walk down the street. And that's why we kept this glass curtain wall wide and large to provide transparency and activate, revitalize the street, because right now it's pretty narrow and it's like a tunnel. So I think that was another idea that we had with this transparency inside the building.
Yeah, go ahead, Tom.
Go ahead, Dave. That your comment is.
Well, no, I was going to say, so that means you didn't say it, so I'm assuming you're not going to do it, but the windows will not be sort of a mirrored glass kind of thing or reflective glass. You'll be able to see inside the building, which I think is
that's great. Correct. We'll be able to see inside the building.
I mean, they will be triple glazed so that we have the energy efficiency that's there. And then even in this elevation at the very top, you can see the head of the window is a little bit darker. That is a spandrel glass that'll match the glass because we have to stay within approximately 40% of the wall can be glazed for the current stretch energy code.
So that will be it will be glass, but it will be what, opaque in the back? Is that what you're saying, or what? I don't understand.
Yes, it will. It'll be it's what's really called a spandrel glass.
Okay. So it has all of the shine and the look of glass, but it will be won't be transparent. In other words,
right? I mean during the night, you'll see the window be a little bit smaller. During the day, you'll imagine that the window's there the entire
time. Right. So, if I may help, so in the ceiling, we're going to have the ductwork, and then will be a ceiling. So that creates this plenum to have all the required equipment and distribution. And that's why you're going to see just the box from the outside will be behind the glass.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And so can we go to the front view again? Well, first, while we're here, that top piece, though, that is actually one story higher than what is happening on Farnsworth or what? This
Yes, it is. It's
mechanicals.
It's the penthouse on the backside. So we've shifted it to the backside.
So all right. And so when you say, is it actually going to be occupiable space?
No, it's all mechanical. And as Mariana said, some of it will be an enclosed penthouse. So there's equipment that we will put inside a building. It'll have a roof. And then the majority of it will be outside for mostly air and the generators.
And what is the material that we're going to be seeing?
On this, we're thinking that the black and metal is a black metal panel. Up above, it's likely that it will be a vents will be running on the horizontal so that we can put the access to the air from any location on the inside, but you have a finished treatment on the outside. So that too will be metal.
And some kind, is it like a silvery sort of metal, the horizontal?
That's one idea. I think we're not quite there yet. We I think we want to make it both look like it's a part of the building, but at the same time, not being heavy or dark. So I wouldn't be surprised that a light sort of aluminum type with, and in a matte finish, so it's not overly reflective.
Well, okay, because to Lynn's comment, in many respects, the backside on the alley has a little more visual interest. The front side, I think you've kind of gotten our drift, is a little bit maybe too uniform. So, you know, the various comments about trying to articulate the first floor and the top, which just kind of briefly brings me back to the 10 Farnsworth comparable that you cite, which is
right.
Really one of my favorite, and I think a lot of folks' favorite modern structures in the district. It has this kind of Mondrian painting sort of look to it that's very arresting. It really is. The 73 Seaport is, to me, sort of a little too uniform, if you will.
Yes.
Too blocky and just not very visually interesting if you sort of wander by it. So, you know, similar kind of theme, but I think 10 Farnsworth trumps it by a mile. Mm-hmm. So if there's any other design cue to kind of spruce up, if you will, the Farnsworth side would be to, kind of move in that direction.
Well, let's think about that as we go forward. You know, the 10 Farnsworth is residential, and so the scale is slightly different.
Yeah.
And this is office, where it's more of a larger.
Where you want a little more uniformity. And,
But there may be a way to break it so that it's not just of windows.
I mean, again, the cupola kind of concept for the top, something to say this is the end of the building. And
yeah, I think that's a good suggestion.
The base, you know, you guys have already raised that, a terrific idea.
Gabrielle, can you switch to the front again? So we can, I just want to kind of keep my, I want to concentrate on that. So there's no canopies you're proposing here at the entrance or what?
No, because we'll be extending over the
sidewalk. Yeah. And I am for the removal of the trees. Those were pretty bad looking. They were, you're right, as far as they're stretching for the light, and they do nothing for the street.
No, exactly. My first impression was horrified. They're taking down trees. Oh my goodness. And then I went, no, it looks so much better. I mean, they're miserable. Yeah. They're miserable trees to begin with. So
I think you're really taking down weeds.
More kind of climbing weeds than any actual, decent piece of nature. So it makes that view corridor really, really, just very striking.
Yeah.
And so the base of this 2-foot base, you said that's brick?
No, we're saying that would be granite.
Oh, granite. Okay. And a dark color, obviously, or something.
Yes.
Yeah, and the metal itself is, you said it's a black metal that you're proposing for this. Is it a paint? It's a painted metal, I'm assuming.
It'd be a painted metal. I would say it's not going to be dead black. I would try to get it into sort of a deep, deep, deep gray.
Yeah. Okay. I think that's better. Yeah, a little bit.
Yeah, we'll certainly bring materials the next time we see you guys.
Mm-hmm.
Can I ask a question about the where the column lines come down in the image? It's hard to tell, but it looks like maybe there's some sort of a on that darker granite 2-foot piece. Looks like there might be some sort of a podium base or something that's also stone that comes up a little bit above it.
So at the very base is a 2-foot piece of granite that's flush with the exterior of the building. Then what looks like sort of a lighter color is another 2-foot element that's going to be watertight and will be the base of the window. So that would be material. And right now we're kind of going back and forth. Is that black or is it, as this is shown, is a little bit lighter color. So there's some design areas that we should be taking a look at.
But it's all granite.
The base is granite. We have thought of that second 2 feet is granite, and we've thought of it maybe it's the exact same. The only issue is 2 and 2 is 4, and 4 is a rather high. The sense is too high. I think you want to have it look like the building, just like the building to the left on this photo. It has a base, but it's not 4 feet high. That's our little concern.
So I don't know if you answered it. I think what John was asking is, as those columns come and engage the ground plane, is there some kind of a splayed out portion, or does it emulate sort of the base of a capital, or of a column? It looks like there is an expression of a wider element there.
Yes, we will want to have that be granite.
So that, but it'll be
sitting. Yes, it'll be a little bit bigger, I think.
And sit proud of the facade somewhat.
Yes, that's right.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, I think that helps to anchor it. I'm thinking in my mind. I think this is. First of all, let me ask the question: what's going to happen with all this parking? I mean, where's that all going to go?
Who cares?
I mean, that's a lot of displacement there.
Is a lot of place.
But also, let's remember that's not, technically another jurisdiction of this commission.
Oh, I know that. It's a sidebar.
I know you know, but I, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. I'm just curious because it's a big, big displacement of parking. I don't know.
Yes. So we just we did an analysis. There are 6,400 parking spaces around that area, and we're gonna scrape 361, so we don't think that is gonna be a big impact. And also, based on our tickets from the past 2 years, there is not much activity in this garage. One was COVID, and of course Uber also was another influencer that disrupted them.
Yes. Actually, Uber. It's interesting. You said, I just heard a report today that this is really, COVID is completely going to transform our cities in terms of how we, office space in general. It's not going to come back to what it was pre-COVID. There'll be so much more remote working. So the need for all of this parking probably isn't as crucial. All right. And then, I think it's a bold, and I like the contrast a lot. So I think it's going to be interesting. And the darkness of it, I think, is good. And I think it's actually going to be a good tie-in, because that corner building is, on Farnsworth and Congress is within eyeshot of this. So that the two will have a relationship with one another.
To be honest, it was the best effort that could be made, I guess, in the 80s to have a parking garage sort of more or less, flow with the rest of the structures.
Right.
But it's just a hulk. I applaud. I would vote very strongly in favor of demolishing it.
Yeah.
And you've come up with it, as David says, really a nice replacement.
No, thank you.
All right. Do the commissioners have any other thoughts they want to pass on, or?
I had a question about the far right-hand side of the building, and it's expressed differently. And I'm not recalling, is that an elevator core, that spandrel glass, or what's going on with that?
On the very right-hand side and on the very left-hand side are egress stairs. And so those will be visible, and we're thinking that the lighting would be very different. It could be very graphic, expressing sort of the verticality and the vertical transportation that exists there.
Mm-hmm. Right. And act as a bookend, so to speak, on it too. Yeah,
a little bit. Sort of saying that's the edge of the building now, no longer. Mm-hmm. So, and I just want to say thank you very much for your comments. I think they're all very helpful. The base, the clarity on that's something we're working on. I would like to look at the window system and see if we can get a little bit more playfulness in it. Across, because I'm sure that would add to the interest. And then some identification at the top of either cornice or maybe where the railing is, we may be able to have a little bit of separation so that you really see a conclusion of the building going forward. And then we'll be bringing in real materials. I think that's the key thing to see how that all works together.
Good. Perfect. All right. Well, okay. I look forward to seeing the final presentation.
Nice, nice work.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Well, thank you very much.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
All right. So that's it for our, do we have any comments or updates or anything you guys want to?
Okay. Before we move on, I just have one question. If I want to consider this now or not, it was something Rachel and I had realized, like walking through the neighborhood, is that even though like the parking garage is not historic, it has the medallions, like the 4-point medallions. Is that something you would want to see like replicated on this building at all? Or
The parking garage had a medallion?
Yeah.
Yeah, you're right. I forgot about that.
Wanted to make sure, just like,
Where did it come from? Because it,
was there a ritual?
It might have been what was there before.
Does it give the 1980 something date on it? That might even be what they did.
The building was built by Boston Wharf Company. So, it was one of their buildings.
Okay, interesting.
Before it was a garage, or was it just another warehouse or something?
I'm assuming it was, but then I believe they were the developer that back in 89 or whatever the year was, I believe.
I mean, it might be nice to have that plaque on the building and then a little bit of the history. This was originally an X. It became a garage. Now it is a, office lab building.
Yeah. Well, I mean, if you can find look at it and see if there's a way to incorporate it that it makes sense, it could be kind of interesting, I guess.
Is there any photographic record of prior to the garage? I'm curious, what stood there before. Not that you have to go back generations to kind of capture that, but
we haven't seen any
some photo archive somewhere.
Maybe. Yeah. So, okay, great. Thanks again, and we'll look forward to your return.
All righty. Thank you.
Yep. Thank you. All right. So that, Gabrielle, you guys have any other updates of any kind?
Vote on the minutes.
Oh, I'm sorry. You're right. Let me get to that again. So this is going to be two meetings, I'm guessing. Okay. So that's why I don't have it on this agenda here.
Also, David, it looks like, you don't have to take public comment. It's up to you as chair for an advisory review, but it looks like there is someone who's raising their hand if you wanted to do that. It's up to you.
Well, I guess I don't know if the applicant is off now. It would have been, but we'll take it, sure. I mean,
I'm still here.
Okay, great.
Yeah, I'm here.
All right, who is the person on that wants to weigh in here?
Paula, you can give your comment if you'd like.
Okay, great. So I'm Paula Goldberg. You've heard from me before. I've lived on Sleeper Street, which is in the neighborhood since 1981. And I think I like the design. I mean, I like the commission's suggestions. I love all of that. But my only comment, and again, it's not in your purview, but I want you to be very aware that there are a lot of residents who use that garage who are most unhappy. And they're also most unhappy because there is a new owner, and I believe it's the same owner of the garage at this point, who has purchased the parking lot next to 15 Sleeper Street. And all of those people who have been parking in that lot since 1981 are no longer able to. If you drive by Sleeper Street, you will see an empty parking lot. We are trying to negotiate with the owner and VP&E to let us use those parking spots for another few months. But that's the update I can give you, and that's it. The design is lovely, and I agree with you. It's just the parking issue, and that's, again, not in your purview. So that's my comment.
Well, I suggest you keep in touch then with the developers and have a dialogue with them and see what you can come up with. So, but I appreciate your thoughts. Thank you.
Right, so we do have the minutes, and I forgot to write them on here, but it is for the March 10th.
Yeah, I see the dates here. So March 10th and April 14th. So, all right. So entertain a motion to accept these minutes, or if anybody has any changes they'd like to make.
Move to accept those two sets of minutes.
Okay, second.
I'll second.
All those in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? None. Okay, they're in. That it?
So I didn't put this on the agenda because I did not know I had to do this before the agenda was posted, but for the next hearing, we'll just have to hold the annual vote for chair and vice chair. I know your chair, David, off the top of my head. Sue, are you vice chair?
I don't know.
I don't even know, to be honest with you.
Okay, so.
I think it's John.
John.
Aren't you the vice chair?
It should say on the agenda. I just don't have it in front of me.
I thought it was John, too.
Okay, so yeah, next month, we'll just hold the vote. So it'll be anonymous. And if you're interested in remaining chair, you know, David, let me know. And John, if you're interested in remaining vice chair, let me know, or let me or Rachel know ahead of time. And we'll do the vote.
Okay. All right. Great.
Okay. That's it. Unless I'm
free, all right. Rachel.
Thank you. Right,
I think that was it. Nice and quick.
Yay. Thanks, guys.
All right. Thank you. We have a motion to adjourn. Did we do that already?
No,
we didn't. So we have to motion to adjourn. Second.
Second.
Thank you. All right. All in favor, aye. 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 Opposed? None. All right. Thanks, everybody.
Bye.
Thanks.
Bye. Bye.